Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters. And we're still rooting for the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, why not? But I always like to say, may the best team win.
Well, it, absolutely right. So one other thing before we get into some of the municipal election related things again, you know, and, you know, it's like we don't have too many opportunities because election's only a month away.
Right.
I just want to say something right up front about an event that happened this past, was it Sunday, I believe it
Saturday.
Was.
Saturday.
Was it Saturday?
Yeah, because I couldn't go. I had to do something.
Yeah, so so there was there was a scheduled opening of a new park, Roger Street Park. It was, you know, the space has been there for a while, but it was re-landscaped rather amazingly, quite honestly.
I kept seeing the progress from my walk starting in March of 2020, you know, around Cambridge and gradually seeing it. And then I meant to see it before this time because it opened the 17th, I think, right?
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's not just some big flat slab of grass. You know?
No, it's got a playground.
It's got landscaping, high, you know, elevations, higher and lower elevations. Yeah. There's actually a hill, kind of a hilltop that actually is built over. An underground structure,
right? But you can't play like baseball or soccer on it, right?
I don't think this one. No. I mean, for that you'd have to go over like Donnelly Field or one of those others.
Right.
Fields.
Okay.
But you know, it's a great open space, and
very nice.
The primary thing I wanted to say about it, and I'll actually think I'll just sort of switch over.
Yeah.
To talk about this a little bit is one of the great things about. You know, openings and ribbon cuttings.
Oh,
and whatever.
Oh my God! Yeah, I saw that on your site. Said,
yeah,
wow.
you get to see it's a coming together of a lot of people. So to me, it was these things are like big reunions, and I had a great time, just you know, chatting up with people. There were bunches of the candidates were there, no doubt.
Yes, of course.
You know, there were some of the better Cambridge people there. I was wondering, like, what are they doing in an open space? Just they have designs on the park now, but But it was there were people from the past, people from the present, and
Bob Healy,
new candidates or whatever.
Russell. Wow.
So I got to, you know, chat up a lot of old friends, you know, and
you should tell people who these people are, because some people might be watching who do not know.
Yeah, so you know, Bob Healy was city manager for over 30 years, and Sheila Russell followed her husband Lenny as a city councilor from 1985 till at least eight election cycles, I think.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly when she exited.
Was she ever mayor? No.
And yes she was. And she was mayor. I think she was mayor and around, it was like one after the other. It was Frank Duhay and Sheila.
Or was it maybe Frank Duhay?
I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's really great to see everybody. And you know, and it's been, I always loved Sheila. Sheila Russell was, she was always one of the most fun people in City Hall. Mm. And I'll give her one other, another person who was there, she's former city councilor, former vice mayor, was Kathy Bourne, who's now on the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority.
Of course, yes.
So she was there. And, you know, one of these rather interesting times for me was when Sheila Russell was mayor and she was part of the, what we used to call the Independents, and Kathy Bourne was vice mayor
Cambridge
and she was
Civic.
One of the part of the CCA. It was like a break from tradition, like a real bipartisan moment where, in fact, you had these two people from opposite sides of the political spectrum.
It's still all Democrats, right?
But that's true. But they got along famously, worked extraordinarily well together, you know, anyway, so for me, it was a particular joy just to see Bob Healy as well as Sheila, but also all the other folks that were there. It was just a great time. And,
Very nice. You know, I'm looking forward to just walking over there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a kind of an interesting transition. I came here as a newcomer in 1978. Right. And even when I first was interested in civics and such, I felt very much still like an outsider, you know, and there were the people who were born and raised in Cambridge, they're the real folks who were here all along.
Yeah.
And I'm still just sort of learning the ropes, you know. And but nowadays it's interesting because
you're one of the old timers.
I feel a kinship with people who were born and raised in Cambridge now, far more so.
Let me ask you something. Maybe you don't want to reveal this, but you keep track of voters. And so you must see trends over the years. So do you know how many of those old timers still vote and are still in Cambridge?
You know,
it must have changed. right?
I sometimes look in very detailed ways at those questions. One of the things I've done just more is, it's actually kind of a test. I get the voter registration databases and I make them available for candidates with voter histories merged.
To see how many times they voted and how many years,
You know, so some people
actually—
So
that'll tell you something right there.
Yeah. So one of the little tests I do, just not that it's particularly meaningful, is I say, how many people have, I started keeping track of all the voter histories in 1997.
Okay, that's a long time ago.
And, you know, so I, every citywide election, I, you know, I have a record of who voted, you know, and, you know, and I, what my first test, whenever I get into, I update the database, I ask it, like, who are the super voters who have not missed a single citywide election, you know, for as long as I've been keeping track.
You.
And it used to be a, you know, pretty sizable number. We are now down to 104 of us.
Wait a minute,
And I know half of them.
You're laughing, but that's telling. That's very telling.
A lot of it is just that people grew old, people have passed away, people have moved
away. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people that come through, they don't stay, or they're renters, or they don't care, they don't know enough, it's too complicated, it's proportion representation. That's fascinating.
One of the candidates actually had suggested to me that I should do something just to keep track, say something about you know, the record of who has voted, you know, amongst the candidates, because I mean, one of the things a lot
you
of people
did do were, that. I saw that on the chat.
Yeah, people were a little perplexed 2 years ago when Jevon Sabrina Wheeler showed up as a candidate, and some people said, isn't it a little surprising he hasn't mentioned that he just showed up in Cambridge a year ago?
He is pretty new.
Yeah, he was brand new. But you know, I think there's so many new people that's not something that people would feel bad about at all because it's sort of.
Sure.
It's pretty common, but one person did ask me to, you know, was actually kind of perplexed about somebody's voting record. I actually put together a little table of all the candidates for, this is probably so small, I don't know how many people can see it, but, you know, of all the city council and school committee candidates, when they registered to vote and going back to November of 1997, which of the elections they've actually voted in. So not surprisingly, the younger candidates would probably be down near the bottom because they haven't been
registered
to vote
for the last 5 years.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
You know, there was one curiosity. Somebody was asking about Carolyn Hunter, you know, and said, well, you know, in fact, when I looked at my records.
Didn't she move or something? Yeah.
Yeah. She was living down Martha's Vineyard, but somewhere. Yeah, I think that's right.
Maybe she voted absentee or something.
Well, there was a change. There was like a change in the voter ID. So I didn't even have any records. So I figured that out, finally got straightened out. So she was an absolute solid voter right up until the point she moved down to the Martha's, I guess it's Martha Vineyard or Oak Bluffs. And, but then she moved back.
Martha's Vineyard's the island. Oak Bluffs is a part of it.
Okay. But then she moved back to the same address she had been in over a decade ago. So, so that's where she is now. So that's why, so it's not like she just decided I wasn't going to vote for 10 years, you know? But anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting, and you can kind of see people like Freddie Fantini, Patty Nolan, Denise Simmons, Paul Toner are definitely amongst the super voters.
Can I ask you, I mean, cause I don't know, what does N mean? Does that mean?
These are just for the November elections. They are
It's November. November, it means November. Okay.
Yeah. So I only kept track of only in this table. I only tabulated the ones in the November elections. I have the records for all the presidential primaries in September.
Am I on the 104 list?
I don't think so.
Really?
I can tell you. I don't think I've ever
voted in the municipal election.
You know, it's always possible that there would be in a municipal election, but you might have missed a state primary or something.
I know that I missed some primaries because they were uncontested. I thought you were just talking about municipal.
It takes me under a minute to pull some.
No, I know that I missed because I wasn't. I've asked you this before,
It's kind of recreation for me, to be perfectly honest.
No kidding, right.
You know, but somebody did ask about it. So I figured, well, let's save everybody the time and trouble. I'll just make it for, I'll give the information about all the candidates all at once, you know, and then you can, you know, do with it as you please, right? Another thing that is actually, let me say something that's not related to the municipal election, but it is significant. But I want to really make clear it's not related to municipal elections.
Okay.
Every 10 years, the U.S. Census comes out, and there is an obligation to do all the redistricting. We're divvying up for congressional districts as
right.
well as
right.
how many congressmen each state gets, right? So I think we kept our same number. Some states like New York, I think, lost 2 seats. Other places picked up 1, you know. But at the state level, when the census data becomes available, there is an obligation to divvy up your city and town into wards and precincts. By law, we have to always keep the 11 wards, but we could subdivide a ward into multiple precincts. And the precincts are not supposed to have, I think, beyond some number like 6,000 something or more per precinct. So we used to have 5 precincts per ward once upon a time when I first came here. Then it was 4. Then it was 3. So we were down to 33 precincts, which actually became 34 when one of them split. But so we're at 33. We will be at 33. At
but
least
our population has increased, hasn't it?
That's true.
But 20, as long 000, as we, 15,
15. Exactly. So the obligation though that our election commission has is, you know, together with the data specialists over community development department, they have to basically equally divide the city by population, not registered voter, just population.
Okay.
More or less evenly with maybe a 5% leeway either way. So they have to do that. Now, what happens in it is that, and I'm not going to show the map here right now, but if you have a lot more people move into North Point area and a lot more people out in the Alewife area,
right?
Then what has to happen is that the districts have to move a little bit closer to them to kind of capture that population to keep things equally distributed.
That's interesting because some of those people are probably gone in a few years.
But it doesn't matter, it just goes by that census. But if their legal residence is there, then that's how the numbers have to work.
Yeah, interesting.
So and then that has a little bit of a ripple effect elsewhere in the city.
Right.
Where I am in the center of the city, there wasn't too much change, right? But there's some. It can actually happen that the state rep or state senate district lines can be moved in such a way that if the elected state rep or state senator was in one, might actually no longer be in the ward that they represent, you know? So there are a little weird.
They represent a ward,
they represent
a district, okay.
Yeah, but that, and that's for the state. Anyway, the process in the past was that I believe that the state would divvy up things into their districts, House and Senate districts and U.S. congressional districts. And then the job would fall to the individual cities and towns to subdivide their cities and towns into the precincts. This year they're doing it, or this decade, they're doing it where the cities and towns were all asked to do their dividing up into wards. And then the state takes all those maps and draws the Senate and House districts and U.S. congressional districts based at least initially on what came up
to me. That seems more fair than the other way, which could be
it might be. We'll see. They have other because of Voting Rights Act issues. There's this matter of what you have to basically, you cannot redistrict in a way that's basically
carving out these snake lines
based
and all
on
that
minority
stuff.
Representation.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Which they've done
it's
in
like
many
first
states.
Do no harm.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So
tell that to Texas and
some of those other states have what they call strict scrutiny. They have to actually get reviewed by the assistant or deputy attorney general for civil rights before they can
really.
Have their
They haven't done away with that like other things. I'm surprised.
I don't remember where we stand on that. I should know that, but I don't
because
remember.
Because the voting rights.
But Massachusetts, we're not subject to that same kind
of
strict scrutiny.
No, we're a little more.
But anyway, I want to be really clear that, so that's happening now. They actually have a hearing on Wednesday, which allows for public comment. And then there'll be another one on Thursday where they will finalize the maps.
But nothing changes till the next,
the state.
The
right, but I want to be really clear that
right?
any changes in the districts go into effect for next year.
As I said, 2022.
Right. But for the municipal election, it wouldn't matter anyway, because there are no.
It's just.
Well, it depends on where you vote, that's all.
But we don't, there's no state rep, there's no elections this year.
That's next year. Next year.
That's what I'm saying. It's just a municipal.
Right. But I'm just saying is that that's a process that's going on right now.
Right.
And I slightly needed to be stated that way.
No, it's important. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, now we were talking a little bit about, there was, you know, for better or worse, the candidates, there are various organizations that sort of, you know, make it their business to advise voters about how to vote, right?
Everybody wants some information.
Right? Yeah, so there's, you know, this like whether they want it or not, they're gonna get it.
They're right? gonna get it, yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to just sort of flash here for folks,
yeah, let's go to
if
that.
They haven't already seen it here.
Yeah.
What the, there are these, and these are not all the entities that might actually be telling you what to do. I mean, but there was this one group called the Better Cambridge, mm-hmm. that chose to give its blessing to 9 individuals. Mm-hmm. There, I think we might have mentioned these ones last time.
Yes.
There was the Cambridge Citizens Coalition that gave its blessing to 4 candidates.
Right.
And now I was able to get the information for the Cambridge Residents Alliance, which has actually been around longer than either of those first.
Isn't there a new group though that encompasses the Cambridge something housing?
Yeah,
something?
But I'm not quite sure. I'll have to wait and see about
all
that.
All right. So the Residents
Alliance made some choices.
Okay.
There's also the Bernie Sanders crowd, better known as Our Revolution, decided who to give their blessings to as well. So those last two are the ones that I didn't have that information when we last did a show. But that has since come out. So now there's also this thing called, what's it called? Cambridge Bicycle Safety, that basically asked which of the candidates chose pledge. To sign a certain pledge. So I'm not including that here because, you know, first off, I would, in an ideal world, I wouldn't include any that were single issue entities. But arguably,
well, some of these places are single issue. They're
a Better Cambridge is basically a single issue group as well.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to exclude them here because they're kind of significant. But you know, it is interesting. I'm not a big fan of the Air Revolution crowd personally, but I have to give them credit for actually taking the time to look at both city council and school committee candidates.
School committee seems to be
like the forgotten stepchild of Cambridge municipal elections.
You're right.
And I don't think that's right or fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish we could do better, but unlike the old days of the Cambridge Civic Association, where they absolutely would have put a lot of attention towards school committee, none of these emergent groups seem to care much about that. It's all about housing and development.
So they left out Fred there, among who else?
The revolutionaries we're not going to endorse Freddie Fantini, but
why?
You know, he wasn't going to look to them for endorsement either.
Okay.
I mean, there are some interesting things. A very well-heeled, well-funded candidate like Theodore Sciatas, I thought would have gotten the blessing of either a Better Cambridge or Cambridge Citizens Coalition. I suspect but
she may have. She said she wasn't that. I don't know.
What I've said in the past, though, is that, and I think it's unfortunate that some of these groups, that one of their primary missions is still incumbency protection. So, when you strategically craft a slate, you don't necessarily put on a candidate who might actually eclipse one of your.
Right. You have to be very careful about that. Yeah.
So if you want to get on a slate, you know, they either desperately need you to kind of pad out their slate, or they want you to be a feeder to help elect the rest of their slate, but they don't necessarily want to have a candidate who's a strong candidate who might disrupt your slate. So
let's look at this list. Who makes every list? Anybody? Stephen, maybe?
Nobody.
Okay.
Yvonne Sabrina Wheeler, like last time around, has made a Better Cambridge Residence Line.
He made 3 out of 4.
It is interesting that Quentin Zondervan is in the Residence Alliance and Our Revolution. He 2 years ago, he was with the Citizens Cambridge Citizens Coalition group as well. But the truth is, though, it's not reflected in here, is that Zondervan and Sabrina Wheeler have basically been running as a tag team combination under the Democratic Socialists of America banner. And I think that has been largely what has been defining their candidacies in many respects. So,
you
know, and, you know, there are actually other entities, like there's a more of a younger, when it was called, was it Sunshine Boston or Sunshine Cambridge or but, Sunshine Superman?
That's related to the housing issues, right?
Maybe so, but I think it's also it's more sort of activism for 20 somethings really, and or younger actually in some cases, and you know, so they're, I'm sure they're trying to have their influence. They're probably more aligned with the AR Revolution group, quite honestly.
It's definitely, you know, comes out of that.
That age, the demographics are such that, you know, that's the appeal right there. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, I personally like to be aware of the slates. When I choose who I'm voting for, they tend to walk right across those damn slates as though they weren't there, because I have always chosen to vote for candidates based on their integrity as candidates. You know, and, you know, how much do I really, do I feel they will be a value added as an elected official? Because I've been following this stuff for a long time. And I'm aware of which candidates bring to the table certain talents, certain skills, certain knowledge, certain capacity, certain ability to work with others, you know, and to me, the primary question is, you know, is this a person who you really want to actually have up there? So, you know, so I'm not going to name those people here right now, but I can say that there are some that are actually on the ABC group. I always like to say, I hope you haven't sold your soul. And there's some who are on the CCC group. Actually, there's some on all of those groups, quite honestly, you know, but not because those groups are saying, hey, Robert, this is what you should do, because I wouldn't pay any attention to that myself.
I don't pay any attention to it either. I don't know. I mean, we have, all right, the last part, we should talk about how candidates reach their constituents.
Yeah,
that's a very interesting thing to me, because I live now in an apartment building. No one comes here. Now, granted, you have to get access, but I think the people that get their doors knocked are people that live in places that have doors, that either single family, two family, three family.
And a lot
or
of the
duplex
newer,
maybe, you know, and you that's who gets.
Once upon a time, apartment buildings had like a vet. You could walk in at least in the beginning and people would just dump a lot of mailers and stuff there and people could pick and choose. But nowadays, sometimes you can't even get that far.
But mailers, it's that one-to-one, face-to-face, really.
You know, that has always been the secret sauce of local politics. And, you know, as Tip O'Neill famously said, he told the story, I think it was in All Politics is Local, was about a certain Mrs. So-and-so who, you know, he said, well, why didn't you vote for me? And I says, well, you didn't ask me. You know, people like there to be go. Asked.
They want to be recognized. They want to have some personal, even in this day and age of internet and social media and everything, people, that one-to-one, face-to-face makes a big difference.
There was a lot of concern by people, including me, that because of the pandemic.
Oh, the COVID.
That might somehow thwart the ability of candidates to actually interact face to face. Well, I mean, I'm sure there are some who, you know, people will go running away screaming when a masked candidate shows up. But apparently, candidates have been doing this classical door knocking.
They are, and they're making a dent. And it's But I do think that is a so. Those are the people that are most likely to vote. Is that what you're saying? I mean.
And if quotas, if quota ends up being, you know, 2,000, 2,200 or whatever, like city council seat, you know, bigger number for school committee, you know, you largely win those votes one at a time, or maybe a couple at a time, you know.
I wonder, you know, we had a lot of people turn out 2019, right? Wasn't that a large?
We had bigger fields in both 2017 and 2019.
And this year we have the ballot questions.
And we have the ballot
questions. Probably going to get heated up. But I'm curious to see how many will turn up. I mean, do you know what? It was 25% of registered voters voted in the Boston election. That is tragic.
Yeah.
I mean that's amazing to me. But
I agree, especially considering all the hype about the Boston election.
I know.
Ended up.
I've been following that too, because it's kind of
a lot of people have been predicting, we're going to have a big jump in voter turnout here.
I don't know. I think there's been a lot of movement out and maybe in, but I'd be very curious to see.
Well, I'll also say that, you know, that maybe, you know, when COVID hit, the George Floyd incident happened. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of heightened activity politically and otherwise. It was also the presidential election year.
Yes.
You know, the Great Orange Menace was still around.
Right. And, oh my God, you're right.
You know, so a kind, it was a brand of activism that was really growing rapidly. I don't know how much of that is persisted or whether some of that has faded away. Some of it's still there, but it could just be a subset of the many people who were out then. And, maybe at the municipal election level, maybe it's just not as exciting. Or maybe it will be, you know, I mean.
Well, I find it interesting that I saw on your calendar that the Public Safety Committee is having a meeting on the Hart proposal on October 14th, which is interesting, right before the election. So I'm tuning into that because
I think sometimes people will try to,
it's going to be a snow job.
Yeah, so that's like a political organizing.
Absolutely.
Tool.
And I know people that don't even know what that is, and these are educated people.
I will
Cambridge.
Say that in the same spirit, I noticed yesterday and put it on the calendar that on October 20th,
I wrote that down too.
There was an ordinance committee meeting talking about campaign spending limits.
I saw
now,
that, yes.
I have to say, you know, with the municipal election happening like a week later, I think the timing is kind of silly to be doing
October
that
20th? Is that what it is? I thought that
was
it.
So, you know, I mean, honestly, if there was going to be any movement in that direction, that should have happened a year ago. And I know it was brought up a year ago. So why is it being brought up now, other than the fact that the election's coming up and you can say, well, look at me, you know, I'm the pure child. I don't take money from developers, et cetera. So,
it's all political. All right.
Yeah. You know, I don't like it when the city council process actually gets kind of taken away by political campaigning, but you know.
All right. Well, we'll be back before the election on the 19th, I believe, is our next show. So I'm sure you'll have a lot to say anyway before then on your site. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, see you next time on Cambridge Inside Out.